Hello and welcome to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams. Coming up later in the show, another update in the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility, or NBAF. Find out what new information the Department of Homeland Security released, hoping to ease the concerns of the opponents of the laboratory. And find out how a proposed bill is looking to help Missouri's veteran homes.
The age group of our nation's heroes that are entering the time of their life when they need assistance.
But first, climate change means uncertainty for farmers everywhere. Warming, elevated carbon dioxide levels, and unpredictable extremes like food and drought are predicted from coast to coast and damage businesses all over. But in California, they're facing more than changing weather. Farmers are worried about new climate change regulations, and their experience may provide insight for all U.S. agriculture regions, including the Midwest. Harvest Public Media's Kathleen Masterson reports from the fields of Northern California.
Russ Lester knows the ins and outs of farming. His family has been farming in California since the 1860s. Now Lester grows walnuts in the Sacramento Valley. I visited him at his home office on a recent balmy 70-degree winter day. The cheery wooden clapboard building is tucked amid the walnut grove, with one fruiting orange tree out front.
We're Dixon Ridge Farms, and so what we have is organic walnuts that we grow on now about 410 acres.
Like all farmers, Lester knows he can't control the weather, even though he relies on it for his livelihood. Climate change predictions in his neck of the woods show 1 to 2 degrees warming. And much of that warming is happening in the winter.
So walnuts actually do need a certain amount of what we call chilling hours.
He's referring to the 1,000-odd hours of below 45-degree temperatures that the trees need over winter for dormancy. The cold weather actually triggers the plant to bloom in the spring. Unlike some trees, with walnuts, the male and female flowers are separate, so having the blooms open all at once is vital.
If we don't have it sort of overlapping, then the pollen won't pollinate the female flower or floret.
Chill hours are a real concern for walnuts, almonds, some fruit trees like apricots, and even wine grapes. But beyond warmer winters, California will likely see elevated carbon dioxide levels, and perhaps some extreme weather events like drought and heat waves. In the Midwest, on average, warming temperatures and elevated carbon dioxide have actually benefited the crops. In California, however, water is a more immediate concern. Most farmers in California irrigate their crops, but there is worry that changing winter climate would mean less snowpack in the Sierra Nevada mountains. This would mean less melt to replenish reservoirs. But are farmers worried about the predictions? I asked farmer Bruce Rominger as we bounced along in his pickup truck, driving past green fields of triticale cover crop.
Yeah, all the predictions about what the future global warming or climate change is going to do to agriculture are just that, predictions at this point. I'm not really sure what the effect's going to be on my operation, and so I'm not doing things right now in anticipation of this. I mean, there's so much natural variation in the weather here.
Rominger farms about 5,000 acres with his brother Rick in the Sacramento Valley. They farm at least 10 different crops, ranging from tomatoes to wheat to wine grapes. Rominger, like many farmers in California, has installed drip irrigation to save water. But he's got another climate-related concern on his mind. Starting this year, businesses in California with high emissions can be charged for their contributions to greenhouse gases. The new law, passed as AB 32, is similar to cap-and-trade legislation that failed at the national level. This kind of system taxes polluters who emit greenhouse gases and pays industries that suck up carbon dioxide, like forests. The law definitely affects dairies, where manure emits greenhouse gases, and many food processing plants will likely be taxed, such as tomato canning plants.
They burn a lot of natural gas to evaporate off a lot of the water that comes in a tomato, and so they're going to have significant costs under AB 32 when it becomes into effect for ag processors.
If high operating costs drive out tomato canners or drive down the prices for farmers, many California farmers won't be able to afford to grow this cash crop. And a broader concern about AB 32 is that its regulations on diesel engines will force farmers to make expensive upgrades on their tractors and pumps. But the new law could have some positives. If farmers can show certain practices reduce greenhouse gases, they could get paid for using those methods. The ag industry is researching practices like planting native grasses or oak trees on rangeland and fertilizing through the underground irrigation system to quantify how much they reduce emissions of greenhouse gases. California farmers are facing lots of unknowns. But right now, the impacts of climate change legislation have farmers far more worried than climate change weather. I'm Kathleen Masterson, Harvest Public Media.
An update in our ongoing series on NBAF. The risk of a pathogen release from the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility is practically zero. That's a new calculation by the Department of Homeland Security in a report made public earlier this month. Laura Ziegler, reporting for Harvest Public Media, has more.
The revised risk assessment says there's less than a 1% chance of a release of foot and mouth disease or other deadly pathogen to be studied at the lab. This number compares to a 70% chance in the original DHS report, according to an evaluation by the National Academy of Sciences. Congress has withheld future funding pending review of the updated DHS risk assessment. Vice President of Research at K-State Ron Truen, meanwhile, hopes this news will reassure opponents the lab is essential.
These foreign animal diseases will arrive in this country at some point, and this country has no capability to prepare for them.
The National Academy of Sciences is expected to release an evaluation of the new report in June.
That's Laura Ziegler reporting for Harvest Public Media. A bill that's due for a hearing in the Missouri Senate next week could bring more funding to the Missouri Veterans Commission. House Bill 1731 proposes to raise the admission fees at Missouri's riverboat casinos from $2 to $3. Republican State Representative David Day is sponsoring the bill. He says funds would bring in another $3 million for the commission, some of which would go to renovate Missouri's 7 veteran homes.
The age group of our nation's heroes that are entering the time of their life when they need assistance, and often, you know, that may include the veterans' homes, the demand is only going to increase for quite a while.
Right now, early childhood development programs receive the bulk of casino admissions profits. The bill moves early development programs to the state's lottery system in exchange for the commission's riverboat admissions profit. Thanks for listening to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams.